The story of Fleetwood Mac is one of 9 years of personal and personnel changes that have shaped and reshaped the band's music, from blues to rock and roll to a smooth blend of pop and rock. And after 9 years, it's a story of sudden success.
You can take me to paradise, and then again you can be cold as ice. I'm over my head. Oh, but it sure feels nice. You can take me anytime you like. I'll be around if you think you might. Love me, baby.
This is the Rolling Stone News Service, and I'm Ben Fontouris. Just last month, Over My Head finished a 14-week stay on the pop charts. That's Fleetwood Mac's first American hit single ever, and it's taken their last album into the top three, a full 8 months after its release. Fleetwood Mac is now at work here, just north of San Francisco, on their next album. It'll be their 13th, but only the second with the latest lineup. Drummer Mick Fleetwood, bassist John McVie, keyboard player, vocalist, and songwriter Christine McVie, and two California scufflers who joined just over a year ago, guitarist Lindsey Buckingham and singer-songwriter Stevie Nicks. Mick Fleetwood, who, along with McVie, Peter Green, and Jeremy Spencer, formed the original Fleetwood Mac, credits the new success to good music, hard work, and the two new faces.
I think just the whole presentation and the energy of the band now is just right. I mean, obviously, whatever happened had something to do with the fact that Stevie and Lindsey are in the band, and there's new, total new energy, and the whole trip. They came into a situation which was already made. We had new energy come into the band, as we've had before, that kept the band going, and just the live performance. The whole thing is just, I don't know how you pin it down other than accept it for what it is, and everyone's really pleased about it, you know.
Christine McVie, writer and singer of Over My Head, adds,
it may be something to do with the fact that the band is growing with the public somehow. I mean, the band is never, we never stagnated. We never let ourselves just stay as a blues band, you know. And that wasn't a conscious effort either. It was just something that's happened along the line. You know what I mean? With the person, or to start with now, the personnel is so much more exciting to the public than it ever was before. And I think having two lady singers in a band that aren't just backup vocalists, you know, that both have their own very strong contributions, like as songwriters, all five of us, I think, are reasonably interesting types to observe, you know, from a public's point of view, maybe now, you know.
Fleetwood Mac began as a blues band, three of its four founders graduates of the John Mayall School of Blues Breakers. Guitarists Peter Green and Jeremy Spencer dominated early Fleetwood Mac, Green accounting for one of the band's first hits in England. It's called Albatross. And after he left, the blues and rock sound was kept alive by Jeremy Spencer and Danny Kirwan. But as Mick Fleetwood says, Green and Spencer left under unusual circumstances. Green left in 1970 saying that he wanted to give most of his money away in line with Christian principles. The next year, on tour in Los Angeles, Spencer disappeared from his motel room and wound up as a convert with the cult group The Children of God. Fleetwood said he felt no guilt himself continuing with music and making a living at it. After Green left, Christine McVie, the former Christine Perfect from the rock band Chicken Shack, joined. She'd done a few sessions with Fleetwood Mac, and as a member of the group, expanded from 12-bar piano blues to more melodic writing, and she has accounted for the softer, more sophisticated side of the recent Fleetwood Mac sound in love songs such as Spare Me a Little of Your Love.
Oh,
harder side came from Bob Welch, a Californian and a veteran of the R&B circuit. He wrote ballads like Sentimental Lady, but clearly favored rock, and it was evident in his work on five albums. In the current Rolling Stone, he said that he left early last year because of Fleetwood Mac's switch around to a slick sound, and he didn't want to have that much control on him in the studios. He has now formed an all-out rock band called Paris. In early 1974, Fleetwood Mac was coasting on a string of albums that sold a consistent 200,000 copies each, and then it suffered multiple crises. Mick Fleetwood split from his wife, and the band was in a lull over the holidays when their manager sent a group of unknown musicians he called the New Fleetwood Mac on a three-month tour of the United States after the band had declined such a tour. The band quickly stopped the now former manager from using the name, which he claimed he owned, but damages were done at several concerts, as the band found out on a tour in late 1974.
There was definitely a few places, you know, where there were not very many people, where previously we'd sold out.
Bob Welch left after that tour and on the eve of a new tour and a new year. Mick Fleetwood recalls how he had replacements immediately in mind. In Los Angeles, he'd been shopping for recording studios, and a friend sent him to Sound City.
So I went out there with him straight away, and Keith Olsen, who turned out to be the engineer on the last album, was there, and he played a tape, obviously, to demonstrate the studio and also what he'd done, and it was happened to be Stevie and Lindsay. And at the time, Bob was very much in the band, but he definitely had itchy feet. Anyhow, we decided probably to use the studio, and I made a very secure mental note of, one, the way Lindsay played guitar. I just happened to say, that sounds really nice. Who is that? And he told me, and it was their album they did about 3 years ago. Anyhow, I left the studio, and we went back on the road, and then, I think it was New Year's Eve, Bob said that he wanted to leave. And literally, I think, you know, a couple of days later, I phoned up Keith and said, would they be interested in joining the band? And they replied the next day and said, sure. So we got back to LA. That was it. There was no auditions or anything. It was just one of those things you knew that it had to be right.
Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham made the album that Fleetwood heard a track from 3 years before, and it had stiffed. They kept making music, but not for a living. Stevie was a cocktail waitress at $1.50 an hour. Lindsey made $75 a week as a telephone solicitor. Buckingham and Nicks began singing 10 years ago in a hard rock band called Fritz that played the Fillmore, along with lots of high schools and teenage nightclubs. And neither one knew anything about Fleetwood Mac except what they'd heard on the radio, and that was mostly Peter Green material. But they quickly became strong contributors to the band, and the latest single from the album is a composition of Stevie's called Rhiannon.
A lot of people will come up, I mean, like, over the last 4 months that we would do it, like, you know, a certain person would come up and say, I burst into tears at the end of that song, or I just want you to know that I had just these heavy kind of flash things going through, all through it, you know, and not an evil devil type of a weird thing, a good energy thing, but a very strange kind of a reaction.
Stevie Nicks, former cocktail waitress, now a full-fledged member of Fleetwood Mac, and also the envy of at least one of her friends, or as she tells it...
A friend of ours, whose name is Rick, he's always been a real heavy Fleetwood Mac fan. He's like six years younger than we are, and he's going... He was there New Year's Eve when Keith came and told us, and he goes, man, I saw those guys, you know, Winterland 2 months ago or a month ago, and they drove away in black Fleetwood limousines and stuff, and I was just going, oh my God... I mean, just, you know, I mean, I was imagining, I was seeing it, you know, I was seeing them being whisked out into the, and here we were, you know, I mean, we just were really poor, and we didn't have any money, and it was just a heavy situation, you know, it was just a flash. I mean, your imagination just went nuts when you, with, you know, now it seems like something that you kind of expect it, you know, it's something that you do because it makes it a lot easier, but at the time, the thought of getting a black limousine and driving away from the concert with all these people going... was just out. Oh, you couldn't even. I mean, it was just ridiculous. You know, it was such a heavy-duty thought.
But for the veteran members, the ones who remember and who lived through the days of the blues, the current level of success has been a long time coming, which is just fine with them. Mick Fleetwood.
I couldn't imagine it happening in a better fashion. The fact that it's come very gradually, and people almost turn around and say, "Oh my God, it's about time they made it." You know, and to me, that's the best thing about it, that it's not, it doesn't involve any weirdness. People know where the band is coming from, and they know it's been around a long time, and people don't like having things foisted upon them, you know, chucked down their throats, and told to listen to this, that, and the other. And I'm just pleased that it's happened in this. I prefer it in this fashion, rather than having it easy and suddenly making it.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you've deserved it.
Fleetwood Mac, Overdue Sensations, in the latest Rolling Stone magazine. In San Francisco, this is Ben Fontouris for the Rolling Stone News Service, which is produced by Norman Davis.